This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is one of the leading women novelists of the Arab world, Hanan el-Sheikh. She writes about the alienation and inner conflict of women who yearn for more freedom than their culture allows. Her first novel, The Story of Zahra, written in 1986, has just been published in the States. It's about a young woman from Lebanon who goes to Africa to study in order to escape her family. She marries a man she doesn't love and is miserable. She leaves him, goes to Beirut just in time for the beginning of the war, and has an affair with a sniper. Hanan el-Sheikh is from Lebanon and went to college in Cairo. She now lives in London. Her novel, The Story of Zahra, is banned in several Arab countries, including Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Dubai, and Algeria. I asked her if she knows why.
They don't tell you why, and they don't acknowledge that it is banned. Only when the distributor and the publisher send the books to these countries, they return them back without any explanation. And then the publisher would know that they banned this book or the other.
Why do you think they've been banned?
I think because they think it's explicit, and they think that I don't portray the Arab family how it should be portrayed.
Because you have divorce, you have unhappy marriage.
I have adultery, unhappy marriage. The mother, she had a lover. And then the scene with the sniper, Zahra, my heroine, her relationship with the sniper. And then various things on human level, which they think I touch a very sensitive areas.
In your novel, The Story of Zahra, there's a very unhappy marriage that she enters into, and she leaves her husband after about a month. I believe your mother was divorced. And I don't think of divorce as being a part of Muslim tradition, but am I wrong about that?
No, in Muslim traditions, I mean, if there is a reason for divorce, of course women can get divorced. And in my mother's case, it was... my father was much, much older than her, in maybe 25 years. So, and she was forced to marry him because it's a long story, but he was married actually to her sister, and my mother was helping the sister at her place. And then her sister died, so my father they forced my mother to marry my father, so she will take care of her nieces, which were three. And
So she was basically filling in for your late aunt.
Yes, and my mother was 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. But she was very, very courageous for her age. I mean, my mother is illiterate, and yet she couldn't take it. She couldn't take the marriage with my father. So after she got my eldest sister and then me, she decided that she cannot go on, and she had many battles with her family, and she won them, and she got her divorce.
What did she need to do to get a divorce?
Well, she had to be in front of a religious man and tell him that I don't like to be with this man because I was forced to marry him when I was very young. And the religious man said, he asked my father. My father is very pious, very religious, and also he thought that my mother cannot really live with him anymore. And he said, fine. He was crying when he said, yes, I'll let her divorce me.
What kind of stigma was there in the family when your mother left her father?
Oh, my God. In the neighborhood, we were looked at and pointed at, my sister and I, saying these are the two girls whose mother divorced their father. And my family, my grandmother was weeping the whole time. It was like the biggest tragedy ever happened. And we felt it very much so when we were young.
Was your mother disowned by anyone in the family?
At the beginning, nobody talked to her for maybe 2 or 3 years. And then afterwards, everything became fine. But of course, she cut relationship with my father.
What about you? Did you continue your relationship with your father?
Yes, we stayed with my father, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you able to stay in touch with your mother?
I don't know. I mean, my father, she didn't want us, I guess.
Your mother didn't want you?
No, I mean, she was in love with somebody else, and she married the one whom she used to love. So we stayed with our father.
So do you know what became of her? Did you?
Yeah, of course. She used to live around the corner. We used to visit her, and we were very thrilled that we have two houses.
Uh-huh.
Our house and my mother's house, and we still see each other and everything. She was my greatest inspiration in my life because she's a very funny character, very, very intelligent, very crafty. I admire her very much.
Did you know a lot of mothers who were in unhappy marriages that were arranged for them?
Yeah, I do, but they weren't as courageous as my mother. There was a friend of my mother who was utterly unhappy, but she couldn't do anything. Her family wouldn't, you know, listen to her like my mother. So she committed suicide. She burned herself, and I remember that very, very clearly when I was very young.
Well, how did this affect your view of marriage when you were a girl?
Well, in a way, I wasn't thinking of marriage at all. I was thinking of something else. I was thinking, actually, in words and metaphors and images. I think I was a very sensitive girl, and I built my inner world through reading and through feelings. So marriage was far away from my thoughts.
Were there ever any pressures on you to marry someone who was chosen for you?
No, not at all, because I lived differently, really, than my mother or her generation, because I was sent to schools, and after a very early age, I showed interest in literature. And at 18 years old, I left Beirut to Cairo to pursue my education. And in a way, you could say that I was living alone from that time.
When you were young, did you read anything that's at all like the kind of subject matter that you write about in the book of Zahara? In other words, when you were young, had you read anything from a woman's point of view by a woman that dealt with subjects like a loveless marriage, like sex outside of marriage, like abortion?
No, actually, I didn't. But let me think, to be very correct. I read Madame Bovary translated into Arabic, and I read Jean Eyre, also translated into Arabic.
Let me stop you here, because there's you know what I'm going to say here. the husband in the story of Zahara actually masturbates to Jane Eyre. I guess there's a real shortage of what in the West would be considered very erotic material. No?
Yes, because it was the only book which he had, I think. And of course, I used to have this book when I was young, translated into Arabic. And there used to be a picture of Jane Eyre, which wasn't attractive at all. So while I was writing it, I was really laughing, saying, how could I make him masturbate on what work? I mean, he is in the village. It has to be Jane Eyre.
No, I'm thinking your novel, The Story of Zahara, has to do with a young woman who has premarital sex, she has a couple of abortions, she has an unhappy marriage, she leaves her husband, she has a sexual relationship with a sniper. It seems to me these are the kinds of subjects that you were probably brought up thinking that either you didn't do things like this, or if God forbid you did, you certainly didn't talk about it. And here you are writing novels about it. Was it hard to make that jump to writing in a public way about these very controversial and very personal subjects?
In a way, you are right. I often ask myself, when I was writing Zahra, I never felt I'm really defying or breaking taboo or taboos or whatever. But when people's reaction were, oh, Hanan, I mean, you are really courageous, you are really breaking walls, then I asked myself, because of these remarks, why did I do that and how did I have the courage to do that?
Well, let me ask you those questions. Why did you do it? And how did you have the courage to do it?
Yeah, I asked myself these questions. And I thought, because in childhood, I didn't think that society is giving me anything. I mean, I was deprived of my mother. My father was very pious, but at the same time has his own world, living in another world. And I didn't feel that I owe society anything. So I just felt like doing what I want and writing what I want. If I have a close-knit society, family, and I was, or if my father was educated and knew how to read and write, maybe I would have thought, oh my God, how am I going to write that? But since there wasn't any restriction, as if like I was a free bird. So this is what I did.
Both your parents were illiterate?
Yeah, they are.
And that was liberating for you when you started writing because they couldn't read the book and frown on what you'd written?
Well, they were very happy that I was a journalist before I became a writer. They were very happy, very proud that I was a writer without knowing what I write. But my mother knows now what I write. She thinks it's funny, and she likes what I write. People read to her. Sometimes she thinks I write about her, and she says, "Oh, but why do you portray me like that? Portray me somebody different, somebody really beautiful." And now in all her friends and neighbors, whenever I visit her and they come to say hello to me, they say, "Please, this is not for writing. We like to see you and we like to talk to you."
Right. But what about your father? Is he still alive? And
he is very old. He never knew what I write or what I've written.
So he still doesn't know what you write about?
No.
How come nobody's reading it out loud to him?
I don't know. He's not interested, I think. He is very old now. He is very sick. But before, he never was interested. And people, in a way, in the Middle East, in the Arab world, they just don't take things very, very seriously. Like, I wasn't taking seriously as a writer before. Only when I came to the West and my books became translated, and when Zahra was out, I started to be taken seriously.
But you've described your father as very pious, and I thought whether he took writing seriously or not, he'd probably be offended by what you were writing about, had he known.
Yeah, maybe, but he didn't care. He didn't know. Besides, you know, I defied the society, and my father was very upset with me because I married a Christian. I'm Muslim, and I married a Christian, and he was very upset that I did that. But later, because he is pious, he said, "We shouldn't hate what God may be better in the future for us." He just took it very piously and accepted it.
Did your father expect to choose your husband himself?
No. He never thought so. But he never thought I'll marry a Christian, not a Muslim. But he knew, I mean, in my childhood, my father wanted us to really follow Islam and cover our hair, my sister and I, and pray. But he knew when we were 14 years old that we weren't doing what he wanted us to do, and he lost hope. And yet he didn't stand in our way. He just said, "Well, I hope one day you will become to what I want to preach you."
So when your father knew that you were no longer obeying the morality that he believed in, what were you doing instead?
Well, we used to be crafty about it. We were supposed, for example, to put the veil, not the veil, the scarf around our hair. We'll pretend we are, and then we will hide this when we go out of the house. We will hide the scarf in our bag, and then when we come back on the staircase, we will put the scarf back on our head, and we'll pretend that we pray. But one time we said, "Listen, we're not going to do it." And we've been lying the whole time. Of course, he became very, very furious and very sad, but he just gave in.
My guest is Lebanese novelist Hanan El-Sheikh. Her first novel, The Story of Zahra, originally published in 1986, has just been published in the States. She's also the author of Women of Sand and Myrrh. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Lebanese writer Hanan El-Sheikh. You went to a Muslim girls' school when you were growing up in Beirut. This was a grade school, I guess. But then you went to a more modern school, I guess, for the equivalent of high school?
Yeah, it was this eye-opener for me, really.
What was the difference between the two schools?
Oh, lots of differences. The first thing, the place where the modern school was near the sea. And for the first time in my life, I could see Japanese people, foreigners who were coming to the sea or to the American university. And I could see girls my age who were wearing beautiful clothes, speaking different languages than Arabic. And it's like the movies. And I was very much inspired by this. But at the same time, this difference in my upbringing, and at the same time of what I was witnessing, I think it helped me in maintaining both worlds, and this feeling exile in both of them made me a writer.
Now, you left Beirut to go to college in Cairo. Was that your choice to go there?
Yes, my choice.
Why did you want to go to Cairo?
I wanted to make myself. I want to be another personality, because in Beirut, I'll be the same person, the daughter of the pious father and whatever. And I wanted to create myself in Cairo.
No, after going to school in Cairo, you returned to Beirut. You were living in Beirut during the early period of the war there. Can you remember for us what the early days were like?
Yes. It was like a big pressure on the city. I used to love in the afternoon to just go into the balcony and look at the sunset and listen to the muezzins everywhere, the chanting, the sounds of the city. And this is no more happened during the war. As if nature has changed. It will be dark, pitch black dark, because there were no lights. And then you feel from all the buildings around you as if there are people, secrets people, who are hiding in secrecy, and they're watching your steps, they're watching you, and they could fire a bullet any second. And also the streets, which you are accustomed to love, and you feel that there is a relationship between you and maybe the electric pole or a certain wall, a certain street wall. All of a sudden you feel that everything is against you, or they you don't relate to them anymore. I used to feel this heaviness, especially at night, and I used to get very, very, more than scared, very upset, very sad. To see you, witness the change of a city or a street which you are attached to.
Were you living with your family then? Or
no, I was married. Mm-hmm. When the war broke. I was married, and I had a boy of 2 years and a half and a daughter of five months. And I thought that I really need to leave Lebanon, because I don't want to be in a place where I will be paralyzed thinking of the war and not be active and do other things outside the place.
What did you do to protect your children while you were in Beirut?
Like all the Lebanese, sitting at home and praying that things will finish very soon, because we couldn't believe that it will go on and on. But after 8 months, I thought I should really leave, and I left.
Do you have friends and family who are still in Beirut?
Yeah, of course. You know, I was from the first one who left Beirut.
Did that take a lot of explanation?
No, but they didn't understand my move, my decision. They said, "How could you leave your home, your everything?" I had work. I was a journalist, and everything was around me: family, friends, love. How could you leave everything and go? And I said, I don't want to submit to only one feeling, which is a negative feeling. I want, life is too precious to just sit and watch war.
Have you returned to Beirut since the war?
Yeah, every year I go back to Beirut. And my latest novel, which is undergoing translation, it's about the war. It's like continuation to Zahra, actually. And it was inspired by my visits to Beirut every year.
What became of your house in Beirut?
Well, we left it. When we came back after 2 years, I saw shrubs in the middle of the room from humidity. It was the scariest really scene to see. I was so moved. I just couldn't believe that. The flat was intact, but you could feel that even the walls felt sadness because of what had happened and produced these green shrubs. And we left it, and we got something else instead. It was too much to bear, the memories, actually.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Hanan El-Sheikh's novel, The Story of Zahra, has just been published in the States by Anchor Books. Her novel, Women of Sand and Myrrh, is also published here. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.